SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's final hour of love here on a misery Monday as we start the week off. I'm Pharrell with Carver High in New York City. Good to have you with us on Sports Grid. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. We're still talking baseball, and the Giants were sweeping the Braves all weekend at Oracle.
They were sweeping the Braves all weekend at Oracle. Man, the Braves are having all kinds of problems right now, right? What a shame. It is for them. 4-3 yesterday. And they even get, like, great pitching. Like, Saturday, Bryce Elder went 8 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 12 Ks. And then what, they gave up a walk-off to Matt Chapman, right? Chapman hit the walk-off homer for the Giants on Saturday. What a shame. So now the Braves will try to get better. They have Sale tonight in Milwaukee. We'll see how that goes for them as they've just had a brutal past couple of weeks. The A's beat the Orioles 5-1. So a win for the A's. Jacob Wilson, a rookie, hitting .420 over his last 30 games. Now hitting .369 on the year. Of course, he's favorite for the AL Rookie of the Year right now, Wilson. Mariners beat the Angels 3-2. Kirby's dreamland, George Kirby, 7 innings, 2 hits, 2 runs. 14 strikeouts yesterday for Kirby? Gotta be kidding me. That is putting in the work. Now, Cal Raleigh got a day off yesterday. I mean, I know he's a catcher, so you got to sit him once in a while. Personally, I don't know if I'd sit him how hot he is at this juncture. He had 2 homers on Saturday night. He now leads Major League Baseball with 26 home runs, Cal Raleigh.
Now, let me ask you this question. Why is it? Are you kidding me that they rest him? Like, I watched, I watched Carlton Fisk play catcher every day for the entire season. Tony Pena, Mike LaValle. I mean, it goes on and on. There are catchers that play every day. I don't understand. What is this kid? What is he, tired? He needs time off to rest? What is that? That is nonsense. He should be in the lineup every day and hitting home runs. They pay him millions. What are we doing here? Resting him for what? They don't matter anyway. Like, they don't. They never matter. When do they win anything? Never.
At all.
I'd start him every day, whether he likes it or not.
Look, catchers, I guess, not like you said, in the old days, they went out there every day. And I know they don't catch him every night. Like, there's nights where they DH him, and that's kind of like a half day off, they always like to say, like a half day off. But they gave him the full day off yesterday.
How old is this kid? Is he 25?
Cal Raleigh at this point, he's 28. Cal Raleigh.
28. Oh, God. He's just so old.
It's grueling to sit back there and catch every night. You got to get, it's a tough job to catch in the major leagues on a daily basis. You got to have a... And they're going to, the toaster tonight. They're going out to Arizona, and they need a little bit of rest.
There's dry heat out there. It could affect him. He might get dehydrated.
A lot of dry heat for you out there. Remember the Giants DFA Lamont Wade Jr. last week? Well, they found a taker. The Angels will trade for him instead. God bless
them. The Angels haven't been that bad. They're not that bad.
Oh, they haven't. They have not been that bad recently. And they're, picking up, the scraps everywhere, right?
Yeah.
They picked up Taylor from the Dodgers. They pick up Wade from the Giants. They're just trying to piece it all together.
Yeah, three games under 500, I think, something like that.
I believe so. They've since Trout came back, actually, is when they really started to win some games again, is when Trout got back in the lineup. Here it is, our weekly look. Major League Baseball power rankings, according to people, who think they know. Those people that think they know, who do they got at the top? There it is. Is that the Tigers? Yes. The Tigers at the top. Tigers, Cubs, Mets, Yankees, Dodgers, Phillies, Padres, Astros, Giants, Cardinals. Power
Phillies
according to
have
people,
lost 9 of 10, but there they are.
They know.
Ranked 6th.
Well, like we said, it's people who think they know.
They think they know everything. these people.
They think they know what's going on. All right, let's get to tonight here in baseball. We do got a pretty good slate for a Monday night. We'll start with a little Battle of Ohio this evening. The Reds and the Guardians are in Cleveland. Wade Miley and Louis Ortiz will be the starters tonight. Guardians minus $1.60, plus +135 for the Reds, and an 8.5.
So Tito's going back to Cleveland here with the Reds. It's the first time he's been back, and they'll lose. I'll take the Guardians tonight. And I hate that price, though, at $1.63, because I think, oh, my God, Ortiz, like, he's bad enough. But look, yeah. Wade Miley's pitching again, so I think he gets ripped. Give me Cleveland run line at plus +132. Lay it.
Lay it. The Buccos are still home. Baseball night at PNC there in Pittsburgh. The Fish come into town. Miami versus Pittsburgh. Yuri Perez back on the mound. Of course, he's out all of this season so far, a good portion of last year with an injury. Back on the hill for the Fish. Mike Burrows. Well, actually, didn't he win last time out?
He won his last first. He won his first. Yeah, the last time. And Yuri Perez hasn't pitched in 2 years.
2 years, it's Perez. That's right. 2 years since Yuri Perez has pitched. Minus -120 for the Buccos. Even money for the Fish and an 8.5.
Clear the decks. Cannonball coming. Give me the Buccos tonight over the Fish, those stinky Fish.
Clear the decks. Cubs and the Phillies. Of course, the Phillies have been reeling here. As they get back home and they get the Cubs coming into town, Matthew Boyd against Zach Wheeler tonight, minus -130 for the Phillies, plus +110 for the Cubs, and a 7.5.
Oh, God, you got to be kidding me, because they've lost five straight Philly, 9 of 10. They lost all three games in Pittsburgh, and now they're going with Zach Wheeler, who has not pitched since the end of May, so far, the 29th, I guess his wife had a baby or something. His last outing, though, listen to this. He gave up 6 runs and 5 1/3 in a home loss to Atlanta. You know what? They're playing such bad baseball right now. I'm going to take the Cubs. Even though they didn't have a great weekend, I'm going to take the Cubs at plus money. What I get them at plus +110?
Mm-hmm. You can't
well, give
get
me
that
oil
tonight.
Can boy to the Cubs.
Oil can Boyd there. Next up, the Rays and the Red Sox will get together at Fenway. Of course, we already told you the news with the Red Sox, and that is, of course, that they're going to have this Roman Anthony coming up tonight, and he'll be making his major league debut. Now, I had one lineup that he was in. One of the beat reporters said he was playing. I see the lineup on their official website is that he's not, so we'll see if they correct that. And that he is going to be in there. It'll be Shane Baz and Brian Ballo tonight. I got minus -110 both ways, 8.5 for the total.
Rays went 5-1 on their 6-game homestand. They win Sunday, 6 straight series win or split, and 14-4 since May 20th. Give me the Rays at Fenway tonight. I don't care if they bring up the kid in diapers, but I'll guarantee you that kid Roman Anthony ends up haunting the Yankees for the next 15, 20 years.
Yeah, I hope that that's not the case. I could really do without
You know it will be. He's a hitter.
They'll trade him to the Dodgers. Like Mookie Betts. I'll give you the rest of the card for this evening, including the late night games and some homers when we come back.
Got unbelievable, the stress. I put a hex on that kid Anthony, a bocce jinx, his first day.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're talking about the baseball games tonight, and we still have 5 left to hit.
Yes, we do. And by the way, I said before the break I'd get the confirmation. The Red Sox have now made it official. The kid Anthony is going to hit 5th tonight and play right field. So he is in the lineup making his major league debut for them. The Braves, we talked about their problems. They're being Milwaukee against the Brewers. Chris Sale and Aaron Civale tonight. Minus -160 for the Braves, plus $1.35 for the Brewers, and a 7.5.
So Savali won his last start. He allowed 2 first inning runs, 7 hits, and they won at Cincinnati. As for Sale, he allowed 7 earned runs in his last 45 plus innings. He got the loss his last time out. He allowed 1 run on 3 hits, and they lost 2-1. The problem with them is it's almost the same as the Pirates. They got pitching. They don't have any runs. They don't score runs. So he goes out and loses, and they're losing left and right. I mean, they've lost, what, 14 of 17? And I'm scared to death of him. I like the under. And I'm gonna take a stab here, Rogie Vachon style, and go with the Brewers at +133 for the upset. And they did not play well this weekend either. They're not scoring runs either. And I know it's just so obvious to take Sale and bet on them, but the rest of the team doesn't follow him. He's just like Skeens. He goes out and pitches gems, and they don't score runs. So I'm going to take the Brewers at home that they'll get off of their problems scoring runs. They've been shut out 8 times this year. They got shut out 9 times all of last year.
Lots of problems scoring runs, that's for sure. The Blue Jays will be in St. Louis against the Cardinals to open up a series. Jose Berrios and Andre Pallant, -125 for the Cardinals, +105 for the Jays, and an 8.5.
Yeah, I think this is cards for me at Busch. I'll take Pallant over Berrios.
Elsewhere tonight, late night games on the left coast. The A's are in Anaheim against the Angels. Jeffrey Springs and Kikuchi going tonight. -145 for Anaheim, +120 for the A's, and an 8.5.
So, they're 4 games under. They're, I think they're 30-34, the Angels. And as far as I'm concerned, they're just playing better than the A's. Now, I won't deny Wilson's hitting, but nobody else is. I'm going to go Angels run line at +142. I think they can beat the A's tonight in Anaheim.
Dodgers and the Padres get together at Petco for the start of a 3-game series. Make sure you get the soft serve ice cream and a helmet. Dustin May and Nick Pivetta, -120 for the Dodgers, even money for the Friars, and an 8.5.
Yeah, look, it's the first time they've met since the playoffs, and here they go at Petco tonight. I'm on the Friars and Pivetta. He's been unbelievable at Petco. He's 6-2 overall. I think Dustin May has struggled miserably. I'm going to take the Friars in this first game tonight at -101. -101 I got him at.
And finally, late night in Arizona, as we mentioned, the Mariners would be heading there. Emerson Hancock, that's Herbie Hancock, against Merrill Lynch Kelly tonight. 2 of our favorites. -175. What? -175 for Arizona, who has had a lot of problems winning games, +145 for Seattle, and a 9.5.
I'm going to take your boy Hancock and the M's on the road at that fat price, $1.43 on the plus side. I'm going to take a shot with the M's tonight. Is Tired Boy playing? Your boy, the catcher with all the home runs, he taking another night off? He's tired.
I'm sure after sitting yesterday, he'll be in the lineup tonight.
I know how tired he is.
Against Merrill Lynch Kelly.
When his knees bent all day, he gets very tired.
It's like the second day off he's had all day, year.
Soft-ass, NES, saltwater taffy-eating Mother Forever.
Oh, boy. All right, how about some long balls? It's a new week. We need to get going here. We had a tough last week was probably the toughest week we had all year, but we get back on the horse and we continue to ride. That's for sure. All right. I'm going to start in Anaheim. I like Ohapi tonight, whether it's Springs or whoever the A's want to go and throw out there. We're going to have a Hoppy hour, the Ohapi hour at +400 to kick things off. Next, I love when I see that Ortiz for the Cleveland Guardians. And I got a guy like Ellie De La Cruz who I can go after him with +420 for Ellie tonight against Ortiz. Who's been hotter than Manny Machado? Honestly. And not only that, he's got a couple homers in his career off of Dustin May. So let's ride with him late night. +440 for Manny. I think that you might get some homers in the Phillies and the Cubs. I know maybe weather suggests otherwise. You got Wheeler, Boyd, guys that don't give up a lot of homers. Wheeler gives up some solo shots. He gives up homers. Suzuki's been swinging a hot bat, +500 for him. at the bank. And I caught a nice number on Marte this morning. I still see some fours out there. But Marte for the Diamondbacks against this Herbie Hancock, plus 500 for him late night in the toaster for the Diamondbacks. Marte,
he's been carving it up.
Yes. Ellie and O'Hoppy. And I will tell you, I mean, I know he's a Red Sox, but I see they finally put some numbers up on this Roman Anthony in his major league debut tonight. I see a plus 700 at one spot. So I might dabble
a little
bit.
I'll take that. 7-1. I'll take it. His first game in the majors, he jacks one into that sandbox.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing, all you have to do is have it pop up and it's a home run. They make fun of Yankee Stadium. Let's talk about that place. I mean, all you have to – I literally, yeah. A foul ball is a home run.
Yeah, shop around a little bit. I saw one book put him up at 550, another put him up at 630, and then I saw a 7 at the King of Sportsbooks, as they like to call themselves. So you can go find the 7-1 there for Roman Anthony later this evening for you. So there's your baseball for tonight. Let's go. We need some big flies. All right, we'll come back, and let's start to get into the hockey because we got it.
Everybody loves hockey.
3 tonight. Down in Sunrise between the Oilers and the Panthers. I got to play you that Marchand winner from the other night, and then we'll hear from everyone getting ready for game number 3 tonight. Yes, it was.
I've hit both games so far in this Stanley Cup Finals, and that was a great bet the other night. Remember, it went from plus 110 to minus 105 when they dropped the puck.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As you know, we're very excited about the game tonight because everybody loves hockey.
Everybody does love hockey as we get ready for game number 3. Between the Panthers and the Oilers. Now, we haven't been on since they played game 2 late Friday night, but it was an unbelievable game. 4-4 into the second overtime. We talked a lot before the series that Brad Marchand was going to be make a big impact for Florida, and I would say he certainly did that. Had a shorty early in the game, and then in the second overtime, this on Panthers radio.
Then it's Dreisaitl behind the net. Dreisaitl out to Ekholm. It's high. It's wide. Out to the near point. Out low in the zone is Marchand. A pass ahead. With no Marchand. A breakaway. Hits it. Marchand. Can he tie the series? And he scores! Brad Marchand in overtime. And the Panthers win game 2. 5-4. The series is tied and a game apiece.
Great call, bro. Nice call of that exciting play. And he brought it right there. Nice job. What a game. It was a great game. There's nothing like a double overtime thriller in the Stanley Cup final. You know, you look at all the great years that they've had overtime games in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But in the finals, a double overtime, it doesn't get better than that. We had overtime in game 1, double overtime game 2. I mean, what is next in this series? These two teams are, you know, it's like they're meant for each other. They're both so good, and they're both so dangerous in the weirdest of ways, right? Like, they're not similar in style, Mike. They're similar in their unique talents. Like, they're both really good, but in different ways. You know, one's a speed team, a finesse team, a passing one-timer snipe team, and the other one's clearly a forecheck team, a grinder team, and gets goals whenever they need them. And a heavy hitter team. They're so different, but they're both so great.
They really are. That was, by the way, just so we know, Doug Plagans does the play-by-play for the Panthers on the radio.
Nice job,
nice
Doug.
Nice job with that call. Very nice job by Doug. Here's Dreisaitl. We'll start with him. Of course, you lose a game like that. You tie the game. You lose it in overtime. Double overtime in the Stanley Cup Final. Not easy, but you got to put it behind you quickly.
Yeah, like right after the game, there's frustration and, you know, the what ifs go start going through your head a little bit. But, you know, the next day you move on. You have to. You have no choice. We got to get ready for tomorrow. Coming in here, you know, looking to play our best game. And, we're comfortable playing our best on the road. So, just shift your focus to that.
So I know that this next clip is even better. This one really tops the cake.
Right. So now you know which goal I'm going to talk about here. That goal that it was scored by Draisaitl.
Yes.
On Friday night. But McDavid made the highlight reel play, which was
the toe drag.
He cut through the Florida defense with his toe drag like a knife through butter. I mean, it was just something that you just can't replicate it or teach it. And somebody actually asked McDavid, how do you think a kid could learn something like that? Draisaitl was quick to let him know what the answer to that was.
I know that's a product of talent and years of skill work, but if there's a kid out there who's like, how did he do that? Like, what would you say to him?
How do you develop that? Yeah, I mean, it's as you said, a lot goes into that, you know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
You can't learn that. Let me answer it for you. It's just you don't. Doesn't, yeah, I'll answer it for him.
Listen, I got to say this, right? Like, so I think it's important to remember that, and I don't want to sound cheesy, that every one of these guys was a kid one day, and they were all dreaming of being where they are now. And some kid out there wants to be him. I think it's important that they try to help any kid. How do you become great? I'll tell you how you become great is hard work. And it's millions of shots and millions of toe drags and millions of laps and skating and speed and skill and trying to cut and cycle and be a player, right? Like, I think it's pretty obvious. If you don't have those skills by high school, you'll never play in college. And if you don't play in high school and college, you're not playing in the NHL. So I think as a young kid, you have to develop it. And, you know, youth hockey is crazy. It's expensive. And listen, every one of these guys was a kid one day dreaming of this day. So McDavid's no good.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So what are the Panthers saying about being home finally in Sunrise after their long trip out to Farrell, Alberta?
Yep, they did what they needed to do. They got themselves at least one game in Edmonton. And as Matthew Tkachuk would say, now we've got home ice again. We need it.
Just such a great feeling. We worked hard. I thought we played two good games. You know, tonight was definitely a step better than game one. But, they're a great team. We're a great team. And, you know, could be out of here 0-2. We could have been out of here 2-0. Like, it's just crazy how it works. So, 1-1 going back home. Now we got home ice, and I mean, pretend there's zeros across the board. Now we got home ice, and let's take advantage of it.
So one of the things that I think is key, Mike, is that I just think Bobrovsky is so tough, and in this building, if they get behind him, he could shut him out. Like, that's how good he is. I think it's almost impossible to shut out that team, the Edmonton Oilers, with Draisaitl and McDavid on the ice. They got other problems. Nugent Hopkins is banged up, right? Like, they've already lost the Heimlich maneuver, Hyman. So I think the edge for me tonight is Bobrovsky back home. Now, I mean, obviously that could be ruined by McDavid and Draisaitl. They could have two goals each and it'd be see you later. But this guy in this building, in this setting, 1-1 with five to go, I think he's more dangerous, in my opinion, than Skinner. I think Skinner's done great. I'll give you that. But, you know, he's allowed a lot of goals, okay? So he's not shutting this team out like he did in the last round. He had a couple of shutouts. He's given up. What has he given up? Five and three. He's given up eight goals already. Am I crazy? So both of them have been getting lit up because they're both so dangerous, but there's never been, like, it hasn't even been close to an under in this series.
Yeah. No, they've both allowed eight goals here through the first couple of games. You know, and I did, it's the quality of it. You know, you can say, well, Bobrovsky probably stops that overtime winner that Marchand scored, right? Because it wasn't really a shot. It just kind of slid past. It trickled in past Skinner. But those are the breaks. And finally, before we give you the numbers, here's Paul Maurice. Man, these games have been awesome.
Yeah, it's been fast. Like, from the bench, the speed seems to be really good. And, you know, the first period in game two, there's lots of action at both ends of the ice, but neither team is casual with their defense at all. It's both teams have, I think, really strong defensive schemes. It's just a testament to the quality of the talent level, the depth of the talent level. Because it feels from the bench, they're getting up and down the ice with really fast.
All year I said they'd go back to the finals, the Oilers. They're dangerous. These two teams are meant for each other. It's like they're lovers. That's how good they are. Like, I think they've set themselves apart from the rest of the NHL. I mean, this is 2 years in a row of this because they are better than every team in the league, both of them.
It's very true. Sergei Bobrovsky is the first goalie in NHL history to open the Stanley Cup final with back-to-back 40-plus save performances.
He's better.
Not bad. Yes. I mean, look, if you stack it up, you know, you get into those overtime situations, you'd rather have him than Skinner on the ice. And that's taking nothing away. Skinner has been so much better than anyone could have ever thought.
Yeah.
But this guy's a little bit better than him. Now, here's the Ryan Nugent-Hopkins situation. His status is uncertain for tonight. I think Knobloch said today he would be a true game-time decision. Of course, we don't know what the injury is because, you know, we're not allowed to know anything like that. But we'll see if Nugent-Hopkins will be out.
If he's half-assed, I don't want him in the lineup. I got some guy at 60%. It's not worth my time. I need guys that, like, literally that are going to play all out, onions out, hard, physically, mentally, doing everything. Not some guy that's, you know, laboring. I don't care what his injury is. He's injured. What are they doing here? Put him out there, they'll lose.
It's a tough time of year to have guys who are compromised out in the lineup.
Yeah.
It's very, very, honestly, especially key guys. He's a key guy for them.
He's a key guy.
And if he's compromised, it's just not the same. Highest assist per game in Stanley Cup final history. Of course, this is Connor McDavid's second Stanley Cup final. He's rolling at a 1.44 assist per game clip, just ahead of Gretzky and Mario Lemieux for the all-time best assist per game.
Think about that for 5 seconds. Just here we go.
Yeah. It's true.
Okay. That guy is a freak, and he is an absolute dominant, game-changing force of nature. He's the fastest guy in the world on skates. I don't care what anybody says. And not only that, like, I think McCrimmon's really good. I just think McDavid's better. You know, he's on another level. He's on the penthouse floor, and McCrimmon's right below him on the floor underneath, and he doesn't get invited to the party. You know why? Because the Avs lose game sevens. They've lost seven straight game sevens. They lose, and he doesn't deserve the talk of being in McDavid's world. McDavid is the king. He's better than Gretzky and Lemieux in Stanley Cup Finals games, almost 1.5 assists a game. He's already having 2 assists a game. They're averaging in last year's finals that brought him down to 1.4. All right, so this guy's averaging 2 in my world. 2 assists a game every night.
He certainly has. He has been that good. All right, let's get to tonight now here. Game number 3 in Sunrise. Panthers minus 145 right now. Oilers plus 125. 6.5 the total once again.
So I got him at minus $1.35 today. I told you already, I think the Panthers win tonight and the Oilers win game 4. Either or. I still want the Oilers to get it done based on, I've been saying they're going to win the Stanley Cup all year. I want them to get it done. I'm not like watching the games and rooting for them and screaming and yelling. I got to be honest, the other night I was rooting for the Panthers because I bet on them at plus 110. And when Marchand scored, I went crazy. When he had the shorty, I went crazy. Now, I want the Oilers to win the Cup based on my betting, But I really don't have any bones in this. I think the games are awesome. It's not like I'm cheering for one side or another. I'm taking it one game at a time. I think tonight's Panthers, and I think the next game is Oilers. That's how I'm leaning right now, because I guarantee if they're favored tonight, they're going to be favored in game four. If they win tonight, they'll definitely be favored in game four. I won't be surprised if, game, if they lose they're favored in game four at home.
I think if they ever lost tonight, they'd be an even bigger favorite in game four, kind of like the Thunder were against the Pacers when they lost that game at home in the first game. I think they're splitting. I'm with you. I think they're each going to win a game here in Florida. Panthers tonight, that sounds fine. And then I'll go in on the Oilers in game number four with them down 2-1. That's good for me. And, you know, Dave kind of said it to you at the end. I've been chasing this under the first couple games, thinking that we're going to eventually get some kind of, you know, low scoring, tight to the vest, 3-2, 2-1 game. But I'm kind of doubting it a little.
That'll be in games 5, 6, and 7.
Maybe that's later in the series. These first period, in fact, if you want to play, maybe the first period over is the way to go, because they have come out flying in both of these first two games with tons of goals and tons of action in the first 20 minutes. So maybe that's the way to try play it tonight in terms of the total for the game. As far as the series goes, look, it's kind of right back to where it was. It's a dead even. I mean, 115, 104, five games to go, and it is a basically coin flip Stanley Cup final, as it should be with what we saw in the first two games.
Well, I mean, Edmonton has to be sharp in Sunrise. They got to be ready. They got to get one no matter what, just like Florida had to get one in for Alberta. They got it done at Rogers Place. Now they got home ice. Let's see what they do with it. I think the Oilers have to remain focused and get one of these games no matter what. If they get both games, if they shock them and win both games, they'll win the cup back in Edmonton.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So we talked about Brad Marchand and his, you know, shorty, his game winner in double overtime, and we talked a little bit about with Gabe even do you think he'll stay in Florida? Like, there's been some rumblings that he's considering, you know, just staying there. Do you think they'll – obviously, they rented him. Do you think they're willing to give him a good deal, like $7, $8 million to play for him? They're not going to give him $10, $12 like other teams might.
No, and I actually think – and this is where the Florida aspect of it comes in, and it's the Florida, Dallas, Vegas, Nashville aspect of it. You know, he can forget 6 or 7, you know, 5.5 in Florida is like getting 7 in Boston, right? I mean, because you're losing, you're not losing all that money over at the, in the taxes. So it seems like he likes it down there. The team's very good. And when you're an older player like him, and you don't have as many years left, you know, getting paid without that tax being taken away, you know, that factors in a lot. So I wouldn't be surprised if he does go. It'll be something short term. It's probably a 1 year at a time for him at this point. But I think he absolutely is going to be back with the Panthers, unless somebody in Canada, you know, maybe he's always wanted to play somewhere else. Who knows what his deal is. Capitals head coach Spencer Carberry wins the Jack Adams Award. Congratulations to him.
Coach of the year.
Winning the Jack. Coach of the year in the NHL.
Be careful with that. A lot of coach of the years get fired in a year after they win it.
It's definitely not something that signals long-term job security. No. That doesn't mean that you have your job for very long just because you win the Jack Adams. All right. How about some football stuff from the weekend, including some stuff from today, too? The Packers are going to release cornerback Jair Alexander. You know, they've had some back and forth with him the past couple years. There's been injuries. There's been he doesn't want to play there. He doesn't want to play there. The Packers have finally said, we're going to cut the cord. Alexander will be available now to all. He's still a good player when he plays. He's a good player.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But that's been lingering for so long, it's like a toothache. I've waited for them to do this for, like, what, half a year? This hasn't just been recent. It's been going on forever. They're going to get rid of Jair Alexander. Well, they finally released him. You know why? Because they couldn't get a trade for him. Right. That's amazing to me. Nobody wanted to pay him.
Nobody wanted to pay him. A lot of money he had coming his way. Now somebody will get him cheap. He'll be able to go somewhere on the cheap because the Packers are going to pay him either way. Aaron Rodgers, we know he was signing, obviously, before we left for the weekend. Now we know some of the details. It's a one-year deal for $13.65 million. He can get up to $19.5 million with a lot of incentives that have been put into there. $10 million of it is guaranteed no matter what. He also went and bought himself some huge mansion in the foothills of Pittsburgh. Did you see this thing, Scotty? It's got a par three golf course, a pool house, a full service horse stable. Like, are you kidding me?
That's where he's going to stud your boy Sovereignty. He's going to he's gonna stud the horse in his barn and make some real money. After, remember we were talking Friday with your boy, it's me, Gino P. And I said, so nothing was Sovereignty here. You have no interest in the Sovereignty horse. And guess who slaughtered that field on Saturday at Saratoga, that Sovereignty. I'd want to get my hands on that, stud that thing, and you're going to have money coming out your ears.
I mean, the two big horses finished first and second, right? Journalism finished second. Sovereignty finished first.
But he smoked him.
You know? Smoked him, completely smoked him. The Texans are signing Nick Chubb to a one-year deal. So he finds a new home after being in Cleveland, of course, his entire career. Jim Irsay's three daughters are going to take control of the Colts now, of course, after his passing. So he's got three daughters. They're all going to be having a hand in running the franchise. There you go. So they'll be running the team.
Remember My Three Sons, the TV show? So now My Three Daughters. They're just bound to be infighting. There's just bound to be disagreements. There's three. Yeah. It's bad enough with two. Three daughters. Can you imagine three women running the Colts, making decisions? That'll be a war. They should turn that into a reality show. They should do Hard Knocks with the Colts so we can see these three chicks go at each other's throats, running and making decisions. Who's going to make the decisions? Who's the power sister? Which one gets the main... Right. That goes to the owners' meetings. All three of them are going to go and give the business to the to the boys' club.
No, they usually only let one, team. You know, they usually call the controlling governor or whatever it is. There's usually just one member in there, so they're going to have to decide all of that. Who's going to take most of the lead with it? Ryan Fox won the RBC Canadian Open in a playoff over Sam Burns. How about this, Scotty? Not only did we had Fox and Burns. We had both guys in the playoff, which is an extremely rare thing. A stress-free playoff on a golf Wednesday on Coast to Coast is what we had on Sunday afternoon.
You hit it at 70-1.
Yes. And that's the good part. The guy, the 70-1 guy won it instead of the 30-1 guy. So that was the only thing you were rooting for there. You were going to win either way. But the 70 was better than the 30.
Carver High taking a limo tonight to the school banquet. He's taking a limo. Yes, it's only five blocks.
The big awards dinner down five blocks. And we are here. It is Oakmont week. We're going to have you covered all week here on Coast to Coast. We got the preview special that we did, the Coast to Coast preview with me, Stewie, Cam, and Brady. And we'll also, Scotty, as you know, a typical golf Wednesday here on Coast to Coast too. Getting you all tuned up. And Scotty Scheffler's the big favorite. I saw them cutting some of the grass before, but I don't think they were really cutting it. I think that they were just pretending with the
lawnmower. There's no cutting it. Are you going to get your boy Smiley on tomorrow as well from Oakmont?
Well, we're hoping for Wednesday.
That's
obviously, NBC has the Open this week, and we know Smiley's always a very big part of that broadcast. We're going to hope that we get some time with him one of the next couple days before
there.
But I'm very excited. I'm very excited. And I think there's 100. Stewie said today on the show there's 160 bunkers there and no water. It's going to be
I'm actually rooting for that 17-year-old kid that shot 18 under in his qualifier.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
everybody loves leftovers. So I watched that epic French Open men's final at Roland Garros in Paris yesterday, and I just thought it was spectacular. And Alcaraz beat Sinner in a classic. I mean, the longest, I think, slam final ever. And he was down two sets and three match points. And he still found a way to win in the fifth set in a tiebreak 10-2. They play a 10-point tiebreak in the French. And I got to give credit to Sinner, because I always call him the juicer. He is an incredible tennis player, but more importantly, I knew that he got busted for juicing, so you know he cheats. And I never really respected him, but I thought his interviews afterwards, where he talked about what it was like to lose, what it meant to him, and how great Carlos is, and he'll be okay, he'll be fine, we got to move on, and he thanked everyone in the world. When he talked on the court afterwards, he did two different ones, a press conference and on the court live. On the court live, he was spectacular. He thanked everyone, the fans, the ball girls, the ball boys, the chair umpires, everyone, all the umpires. He thanked his team. He thanked Carlos and Carlos's team. And I thought he was really classy. And he said, I won't sleep tonight, but tomorrow I'll get up. I got to keep going. I gotta come back here. I love it here. I thought he was really cool. But more than that, watch how much fun this guy Alcaraz has with the ball girls after he won. Yeah. Hey. You know, that is spectacular. And he did that with the boys too on the court. He got rowdy with the boys too with the trophy. He's a badass. Coco Gauff beat Sabalenka to win the French Open title. How about Sabalenka? Said after the match she lost the match herself, gave Coco no credit. She later put out a statement backtracking that. She walked it back because she said she didn't get beat. She beat herself, and that she complained about the weather and she complained about the wind and the court conditions. And but when she was winning, she was on top of the world and finger pointing, fist pumping, putting on a show because she was kicking ass and taking names. And then when she was getting her ass beat, her tune changed significantly. I thought Sabalenka was a terrible loser. What a horrible loser she was to go out there and say Coco didn't deserve it. I just blew it. Like, you're pathetic. Honestly, that was pathetic. Like, the guy Sinner was like, this sucks, but he's so great. Like, it was a great match. It was one of the best matches I've ever, played in. I'm just glad I got to be a part of it. And I thought he was classy. She was terrible. What a horrible loser she was. Gauff, the first American French Open winner since Serena in 2015. Kayla Harrison beat Pena by submission at UFC 316 to win the Bantamweight Championship. She's going to fight the Lioness next. And hopefully they'll figure out the weight, because like, they tortured that girl to get her at weight for this fight the other day. It was like, she looked like she was going to die. Harrison, now a UFC champ, two-time Olympic gold medalist, youngest six-degree judo black belt in U.S. history. Nunez to unretire and fight her. They had a stare down. Portugal wins the Nations League. Your boy Ronaldo with another trophy. House versus NCAA settlement approved. Landmark decision opens the door for revenue sharing in college athletics. There's going to be a salary cap. Colleges can now pay players directly starting July 1st. Former athletes from 2016 on will get paid up to $2.8 billion. They're going to spread it around. Dick Vitale signs a new deal with ESPN. They're going to have the Dick Vitale Invitational, with the first matchup being Duke and Texas November 4th in Charlotte. Varela finish. Pac-Man Jones, everyone's favorite troublemaker, arrested again for public intoxication and assaulting a cop, allegedly. Former NFL player Kelvin Joseph Jr. arrested for DWI in connection to a fatal crash. A Seattle man charged with a string of burglaries at homes of Richard Sherman, Luis Castillo, Julio Rodriguez, and more. They finally busted the guy. LA Times columnist Bill Plaschke says he has Parkinson's disease. Drag. I like Bill Plaschke. I hope he's all right. Front Office Sports Today, then GTD, then In Game Live, then Sports Rage. Catch Carver and Lisi at 8 on Sports Grid Radio. I'll see you tomorrow at 3 on Coast to Coast.